And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
We're getting ready for the Christmas holiday, too.
Sounds like a festive time.
It very much is, Phil. And part of it, of course, is our young man's display, where we do celebrate the young African-American men and the African-American family, because much more attention, I think, need to be paid to that.
Well, it's an admirable goal. Now, you're talking about the young man's display entailing young black women marrying young black men to reinforce the African-American family.
That is correct, and, but particularly young white women that are prone to be attracted to young black men.
All right, now, what do you mean by that? And we're talking with Clara Bingham. She's a middle school teacher. Tonight you're having an open house at Joyful Union Middle School, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, what do you mean about young white women and young black men?
Well, the message that we want to impart to all young women, particularly young white women, that our young black men are needed in their communities to lead their family. And in order for that to happen, we want young white women to realize that when they see a beautiful young black man, to let them marry a beautiful young black female and resist the temptation to engage in a relationship with him. In our classroom display, we call it getting your hooks in. We tell our male students that all women are to be respected and treated with dignity and gentleness. But you need to be aware that there are a lot of white women who want to get their mud hooks into you, and you need to resist that.
This is a message about the racial and cultural integrity of the black family. You're speaking to black men directly about this?
No, really, Phil, our message is for white women primarily, to please leave our men alone and not get their heads filled with ideas about getting married and this sort of thing, because the white woman is not primarily interested in that with a black man. And
well, what are you talking about the interest of white women? It sounds to me like you're discouraging interracial marriage.
Not necessarily, no. I think it's simply more with white women, it's a trophy question. You've heard of the trophy wife. White women like to be on the arm of a black man because it sends a message to other white women that they are perhaps they are hipper than they are, or they have more style or something. But
doesn't this belittle any woman who's white who may be in love with or in a committed relationship with a black man? See, you're saying that.
No, I don't intend to do that, Phil.
But you're saying the message to white women is please leave our men alone.
Well, it doesn't have to be as direct as that, but in essence, yes. In essence, we are saying to white women that the party's over, that we are looking toward a century where we are trying to rebuild the black family, and we are trying to give the black family integrity. And I don't intend to belittle any woman. White women who are currently with black men have been with them for longer than, say, 6 months to a year. They may be hard to find, but I'm not really talking about them. I'm simply saying to white women who are shopping around for a black man or what have you, to please leave these men alone so they can find a black wife and begin the process of reconstructing the black family in America.
It sounds to me, Ms. Bingham, and I'm give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham, that you don't want to see white women and black men. Let's get back to the idea that a family is a good family no matter what the race of the members. If it's loving and moral and the family members are committed to each other.
All right.
What about that?
But unfortunately, in a family where the father is black and the wife is white, the children are black, and they see their black father with a white woman, and they start wondering why this white woman would want to get her hook in this man. So the children become polarized and confused as to why mommy has glommed onto a proud black man and not a white man. And the idea is to reconstruct and to reinforce the integrity of the black family. And you have a lot of white women, and they're very good women. But they want to, go slumming, or they want to cat around, or this kind of thing. And we are simply saying to them, the party's over, and we want you to leave our men to them.
But here's what I'm having a hard time with, and I realize that.
Please don't read this in a racial way, Phil. I think you're reading it in a racial way.
Here's the thing I'm having a hard time with. If a white woman and a black man meet each other, and they fall in love.
But that is a rarity. That really is.
That's a rarity.
That's not a real common occurrence. As I said, If you can find me a white woman who's been with a black man for more than 6 months, 6 months to a year, let's say.
All right.
I'm not speaking necessarily directly to her. I'm talking to the overwhelming majority of white women who want to, get their hooks into a black man because it's a status thing. And our beautiful young, well, because the white men are not, the white men they're meeting these days are a little bit trashy or this kind of thing. So they're looking for a man who has some class, a man who has a sensitivity to him, if you will, a man who has some soul to him. And I don't mean that in a racial sense. I mean that in a sensibility sense. Certainly she is going to be attracted to a black man. But I am saying to the white women, with our young man display and whatnot, please keep your hooks out of our black man. Keep your mud hooks out.
That's the thing. And you've got this display that says, keep your mud hooks out of our man.
It's just a colloquial way of trying to communicate directly the idea that we are trying over the next century to reconstitute with integrity the African-American family.
All right, and that would preclude, then, black men and white women getting together.
That is correct.
All right. Now, let me ask you about the opposite, black women with white men. What about that? Does that jeopardize the integrity of the black family?
Well, it's not. Black women with white men do not pose, I don't think, fill the same problem. A black woman with a white man, it is a more logical choice. In terms of a socioeconomic, from the socioeconomic standpoint, it is logical for a black woman to choose a white man. I am speaking primarily of our beautiful young black men being seduced and this kind of thing. And it's an unfortunate word to have to use. Unfortunately, I have to use it by these white, by the whites who want to get their hooks in and go for a joyride. You know, some kind, in some cases, a sexual joyride. But certainly it doesn't do anything, I think, for our family. And we ask the white women of America to please leave our men alone. Please leave them alone so they can bond with a black woman and get with the business of constructing and making sound of the African-American family. Quit fooling around with our men.
A lot of what you're saying here sounds, in a way, demeaning to the white women.
I certainly don't intend that.
Well, I mean, quit fooling around with our men. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm simply saying I think a lot of white women treat black men like they're some kind of a plaything or a toy or a status symbol. I'm saying leave those young men so they can be with the woman that ultimately they can build a family with.
All right, Clara Bingham is with us. She's a middle school teacher. Tonight you can hear the sounds of the classroom behind her. They're having a open house. What grades do you teach, Clara? That with middle school is...
Right now, at Joyful Union Hill, our middle school is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and we get our children prepared for a college preparatory four-year high school.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the need for black women and black men to marry and to, as you say, Clara, reinforce the integrity of the African-American home, and you have made an appeal to white women to, quote, don't put your hooks into our men, which I still think sounds a little negative.
No, it is simply a colloquial reference, that's all. See, don't put your mud hooks in, your meat hooks.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Nina, hi Nina, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham.
Hi, Clara.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I think you're wrong for what you're saying.
Yes, dear.
I believe that you're wrong for what you're saying about white women need to get their hooks out of black men. If a black man wants to marry a white woman, that's his prerogative.
Well, I think that a lot of black men get seduced by these women, you know, because of some kind of a status thing. All I'm trying to say to the white women is don't get their heads filled with all kind of ideas, you know.
That's not fair to say because my twin brother dated nothing but of the other race, and I'm a black woman, okay? And I never felt that he was doing anything wrong. That was his choice.
Well, I don't think
it's
wrong.
And I was happy for him.
Yes, I don't think it's wrong. I think it undermines the integrity of our African-American family.
No, it does not undermine.
Did they have children together?
No, they did not. Unfortunately, he was killed. But what I'm saying is he was very happy.
See, the white girl toyed with him.
She didn't total him.
I'm saying she toyed with him.
She toyed with him.
Did she have anything to do with his death?
Now, hold on for a minute. We're talking about something.
No, she did not. She did not have anything to do with it. What I'm saying to
you is that he was very happy. Well, what I'm saying is, darling, how do you know she didn't put a lot of fool ideas into his head and he went and got himself killed?
Because he was a strong black man. He was a strong black man, a very strong black man.
Yes, of course he was, and I'm sure he was a wonderful brother. But
he was a brother, too. He was a strong black man that loved a multicultural woman. We call him Mr. International.
Can I tell you something? Does it ever occur to you that he might be still with us today had he found himself a beautiful young black sister to be that?
Boy, that's pretty...
You know, that is so disrespectful.
That's really rough.
I'm
a teacher, and my job is to get to the root.
You are not teaching the right message to your students, so I don't even know how you made it to become a teacher.
Well, now, what should not...
That's the problem with today's schools, is that these teachers are giving our students their message and their beliefs.
What could be negative about trying to get the message out about a strong black family with a black father and a black mother and all that?
That's evolution theory. They just put a sticker in the book stating that it's false now.
I didn't hear you, darling. Your phone is breaking up.
It's like the evolution theory. Did you hear about that? They had to put the stickers in the books in Atlanta because they feel the evolution theory is wrong now.
Well, that's all nonsense. I'm just simply...
That's how you sound, like nonsense.
Oh, I don't know. What is wrong with a strong brother and a strong sister getting together and all these white women...
Nothing wrong with that. My mother and my father made me my brother. But what is wrong with a strong white woman and a strong black man getting together making a big, cute, mixed race baby?
Well, because that's just it. When you put a white woman together with a black man, it all gets diluted and mixed. It all gets mucked around. It all gets mucked around, darling. You don't want to...
Well, what do you mean it gets mucked?
Those kids are beautiful. You can't deny that.
I'm not saying that the children aren't beautiful. I'm saying that there's no such thing as a strong white woman, number one, just between you and me.
You know what? I can't even talk to you because you're wrong.
I want to jump in here. I just want to jump in. This is Phil Henry. Ms. Bingham, you're saying some things that are rather insightful. We say there's no such thing as a strong white woman.
There's no such thing as a strong white woman with a black man. That's all I'm saying.
Quincy Jones is not a strong black man, and I know he's married to Peggy Lipton still.
Oh, well, but you know he fooled around on her. He fooled around on that woman. You know, look at Peggy Lipton.
He's a prime example.
All right, look. Is there another way you can put this? Look, Ms. Bingham, what I'm saying is there another way you can put...
I'm not saying white women are not strong. I'm saying put a white woman with a black man, and you get a tendency toward a criminal mindset. And what I'm
criminal mindset? The basketball players marry white women? They're not criminals?
Well, they marry white women, but they're still going with black girls, you see, because they want to be... They get out
of... Do you know how many white men have white wives and they're from a black woman? Did you just now watch the black woman who's got a lawsuit against talk show host?
You have to stop watching too many of the TV talk show and find yourself a black man.
Do you live in the South? Where do you live?
I live in Los Angeles, California. I live in Bellflower, California.
You know where you're blinded then. You live in LA and so do I. You telling me that it's not real?
All right.
You gotta come off of this lady.
You try to make a black family. You
men date white women. Oriental women date black men. White men date
white
women.
Sister, I gotta tell you something.
Triangle. Everyone's gonna love one another.
Sister, I think you are yelling so loud, darling. Now, Nina, listen to me. Nina, listen to me. You are screaming so loud. I think you blew the speaker out of your cell phone.
It's
all busted
up. You're the KKK because it's rude.
Hold on, ladies. I can't understand. I understand what the caller was saying about Ms. Bingham's comments being a little bit insightful. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Clara Bingham, who is a middle school teacher at Joyful Union Congregation Middle School in Bellflower. One of the displays they have tonight at their open house is, I think it's called a young man display, where they encourage young black men and young black women to marry to reinforce and to regenerate the integrity of the African-American family. And to that end, she is openly asking white women to, and she said it, and this is maybe what got the caller upset, to quote, please stay away from our black men and not, you know, she said, I think she used the phrase, if I'm not mistaken, the joyride's over. get your mud hooks out of our black men. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up in our next hour, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County on the further celebration on the Bush election. Tonight we're with Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation Middle School. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten any children? Have you seen them lately?
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Your brother dated a white woman, Ms. Bingham?
Yes, Phil, my brother Kevin did, and we had to have a family intervention with him. We said to him, in so many words, you know, she is a very beautiful young white girl who, you know, filling his head full of a lot of fool ideas, you know, about...
When you say fool ideas, what do you mean?
Well, see, you know, all that. You are so strong, and you are so sexy, all this, you know. And this is nonsense. A white woman going to feed a black man's head full of this kind of thing for about 6 months to maybe 8 months. And then she'll trap him like a bad habit for the first white man to come along and swing open the door of a Jaguar or Rolls Royce, you know. But
you also said that it's logical for a black woman to be with a white man.
Just from a socioeconomic standpoint, that's like, it makes sense. You see a sister with a white man, and you just nod your head, and you go, well, that makes sense. You know, that doesn't shock me, and I don't think anyone sees that as unusual. But I think what we are trying to say is we need our young black men to lead our black families. And to the white girls out there, you know, your fun's over, the joy ride's over. You had a good time while it lasted. It's time to, you know, wipe the makeup off your face and get yourself a bath, you know, and get back to, let's get back to the integrity of our families, all American families.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham with us, who is encouraging young white girls to please stay away from black men. They need to head up black families. Stephanie is on the line. Hello, Stephanie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, I am very upset with what you were saying, Ms. Bingham. I thought that since the Civil War, everything that's been happening with Martin Luther King up to the present is to show that the black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people are not a color, but a human. So I would say it's a human man with a human woman, not a black man with a white woman.
Well, now, can I ask you where you live?
I live in Ventura County.
Well, that's nice and white up there, isn't it?
That's what I'm talking about. We're predominantly Hispanic.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, birds of a feather flock together. Now, you're up with the white people up there because you feel comfortable with them.
What is this white people?
A white woman wants to change a black man. We have a thing in our culture, you know, the Oreo, black on the outside, white on the inside.
That's absurd. You're taking the beliefs that are being changed.
Now, hold on. There's also a thing called a vanilla wafer. That's white on the outside and black on the inside. That's what a white woman wants to be. And we're simply trying to say, let's let our black families grow without a young white girl like you. Well, you're a young white girl. You're going to stick a lot of ideas into a black man's head. Are you going out with a black man right now, dear?
Excuse me?
Are you dating a black man right now, dear?
No, ma'am, I am not.
That's good.
And I
hope you keep it that way.
That would be me dating a male.
All right, Stephanie, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. You understand that in a lot of ways you're baiting these people.
No, I'm trying to educate Phil.
All right, we'll be right back with Clara Bingham on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking to us from Joyful Union Middle School, where she is a teacher, is Clara Bingham. She is, you're obviously African-American, Ms. Bingham. I don't think I ever asked you that, but you teach at a predominantly black school?
All of our students are African-American, yes.
Okay. You are saying that young white women, please stay away from our black men. We need them to relate to and to eventually bond with and marry black women to reinforce the integrity of the black family. You say that white women have been on a joyride. A lot of the things you're saying sound just a tad, shall we say, inflammatory, dare I say racist.
No, so there is nothing racist about what I am saying. I said there is no problem with a black woman being with a white man.
Why do you think white women go after black men? You said it isn't about sex. You said it's about status.
There's a certain hip credibility, too. You have to understand that young white women have grown up in a white culture where they strain so very hard to identify with the shall we say, subcultural credibility of being an African American. You have Eminem and all this. You know, he's a white boy who, you know, probably when he's at home talking to his mama or whoever, he talks like a white boy. Well, he get out on the TV and the radio, and he wishes that he was black. You know, and a lot of white girls wish that too. And so, because they want to reject their parents and their whole status quo, so they go after a young, beautiful black man in 8 months to a year. They dump him like a bad habit, and they're on to their house on the hill. And I'm just saying that we're saying as black women, you know, your joyride, your good time's over. And you can keep your mess at home now, and you can twist around some white man's head.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything you're saying about white women and black men, they're out to twist their heads around, mess their heads up.
But I don't think they're doing it intentionally. I just think a white woman with a black man means black man's head gets twisted all and messed up. It's not that she's trying to, but every time you put a white woman with a black man, it fills his fool head with all kinds of crazy notions, and he gets all messed up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham. Here's Carmen. Hello, Carmen.
Hi.
Hi.
This call is for Clara. I've dated a black man, dated for a black man for all 5 years, and it's the black man that seeks the white woman out. I'm Mexican, and they're the ones that seek the woman out, not the woman seeking the man out.
You're Mexican?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, that's not quite the same thing.
It is. I've lived in America all my life.
Well, I know, but you're not.
I'm American.
You're not white.
I am American.
You're American, yes, but you are.
But
you're basically black.
The black man does not seek the white woman. Is the one that seeks the seeking out.
I don't know.
In
your case, we can't be sure because.
Hold on, everybody. Everyone's talking over each other.
I'm just simply saying, Phil, in her case, it's not really the same thing.
Why?
Because
it's
she's Mexican, and there is a little bit more of a black thing going on with them than there is white women.
You're saying, in other words, Carmen being Mexican, she's not white?
Not the kind of white woman I'm talking about.
Well, what are you talking about? You talking about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman?
The middle class, yeah.
I am middle class.
Not some purple nail polish wearing.
You
just said I am not. No, you see, your language is like from El Monte or something, darling.
No, I'm from Vista, California, and I'm not from El Monte.
Well, you're
home girl or anything.
Well, you sound like
a
hoochie mama with that no, I ain't no kind of language, right?
Oh no, the only hoochie mama.
What do you mean hoochie?
My girlfriend.
I'm an educator with a 4-year degree as a teacher. You are a teacher, and you speak that way, that kind of English?
Oh, excuse me.
What do you teach?
I work.
I said I was a teacher. You said you were, too. So what do you teach?
I've taught everything, and I also work for the greatest place
everything?
Ever.
Let me ask something. Do you know how to remove a cuticle? I think that's what she means by teaching.
All right, now wait a minute.
No, I'm not no person that...
I'm not no. Here she goes with that language again. Girlfriend, you have got to get a book on English and learn how to construct an English sentence much
you
more.
You teach what? Preschool?
I teach young people how to say I am, not I'm not no.
Excuse me.
All right.
Me.
Yes, that's right. Now you go get your purple nail polish
and go out and find
yourself an African man or whatever it is you...
Yeah, you're African
You're speaking down...
You don't teach speech, do you, darling?
Don't need to.
Have you?
I really don't need to.
Where did you teach basket weaving?
When I'm talking to a woman like you, I really don't need to.
Well, wherever you taught people how to weave baskets, I think you need to.
Now you're putting the Native American down?
Well, if that's what you are.
Are you putting the Native American down, too, the original American?
I guess you're going to tell me you're that, too, huh?
I am that, too.
Then you're Mexican, and now you're Indian? Look, the Indian.
What is Indian?
You know, the Indians with the whole war hoop thing. Is that what you say you are?
We're Indian?
Wait a minute.
I thought we were Native American.
Well, all right, whatever floats your boat.
That's listening to the Henry Show, Native Americans, please call this woman because she knows nothing of what she's talking about.
Well, I tell you what. Next time you have a war dance,
I've never heard of an Indian.
When do you sweep out your teepee and invite me in for a cup of whatever you have, and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm,
but next
mm-hmm.
you'll be telling me you're a leprechaun.
All right, look, thank you for your call. There's a lot of racism coming out.
No, Phil, it's not racism. I'm simply I'm yanking her chain.
Well, it sounds very... it sounds as if you're objectifying people and...
Well, look at you. No, I'm just yanking her chain. Now, see, a hoochie mama calling up with a purple nail polish...
She didn't say she was a hoochie mama. She said she was Mexican.
It's not the same thing, Phil, as the white women I'm talking about. And
well, what's the difference?
The Latin woman in America, culturally, is married a little bit more closely to the African-American culture as opposed to the white woman who is more Northern European. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Now, she said she white, she said she Indian, then she said she a hoochie mama. I don't know what she is.
She never described herself as a hoochie mama. She simply said that she was Mexican and she dated a black man. Let me move on with the calls and forget about whether or not we're... The ethnicity of the people that are calling. We're talking about white women and black men. Here is Rashawn. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell her that black men want them women. That's why they want them
do.
Women. Them women aren't seducing them men.
I know
them
you
men
do.
Want
and
them
that's
women.
Because you got
them
your
men don't like themselves. Them men don't like this black woman. Them men want them straight-haired women.
Well, that's right.
Nothing
you
can
do
about
it. All
I ask them men to do is not
look,
talk down on the black
woman. If we're
going to
have people
woman.
Talking over each other, I'm going to hang up on both of you.
Okay.
All right, look, Phil. Here's this fool who wants to be white.
Don't call him a fool, because that's not going to get...
Well, it's true, isn't it, Rashawn?
Let me tell you something.
How come you take that Muslim name and you want to hang out with all the white girls?
Let me tell you something.
You taking on a Muslim name and yet you want to be with
You're not listening to me.
You want to go out a vanilla wafer girl and you take a Muslim name.
Ain't nothing
He's
you can
not
do
saying.
If that's what they want. You understand what I'm saying now?
Ain't nothing you can
they
say.
Want. They pursue them. They go after them.
You can say no, darling. That's what you can do.
I'm married to a black woman.
Well, then what you fucking at me for?
I know folks who go after them white women. And then what they will say is, the white women want me, but the black women don't want me. So they know what I got.
You know that,
all
right?
They're not pursuing the black
women.
You understand what I'm saying?
You know, black women are going after the white man because they want a little socioeconomic security.
I ain't saying about no black women and white men. I said the black men are going after those white women or those Latino women.
That's right.
And they're pursuing them because that's what they like.
But look what happened to Kobe.
They perceive them as more beautiful than their own.
Now, you see what happened to
Kobe. They don't like themselves.
When that happened to Kobe Bryant, he went after that white girl. What do you think happened to him? You see what I'm saying?
I don't care what happened to Kobe. We explained about what you talking about. What are you
talking
about?
I'm talking about Kobe Bryant going with that vanilla girl like that, that little O'Shea, that turned him into a jailbird, a proud, young, beautiful black man, a jailbird out in Colorado,
to understand is they pursue them. It's not vice versa. It's not.
The majority is the man pursuing
that woman.
That's the point of this gentleman's call. What do you have to say to that?
Well, first of all, these white girls have got our brothers so turned around. They think that they are
pursuing
them. The white girls have got their heads turned around, thinking they're pursuing. The white girls stick their hook into a black man. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
It's that man doing that. It ain't that.
No, that's what I'm saying, you brother. You have got it wrong.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm with them. I hang out with them.
I see them every day. I'm in a nail shop with them, in a hair salon with them. I'm listening to them babbling around that perfume counter, talking about a black man this, and he thinks.
They couldn't if that man didn't want them. You think they wouldn't got him? No.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to put their hooks right. I'm just saying all the white girls stay away. And where'd you get that name?
Talk to the brothers. You leave them alone and talk to the brothers. That's what I'm trying to say. You're wasting your time talking to them.
Let me ask you something. Are you Muslim?
No.
So what's up with Rashawn? What's that about?
My father named me after jazz musician Rashawn Roland Kirk.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, that's where my name comes from.
I saw him at the...
you did?
Yeah, I saw him at the Southgate Palace when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You saw Rashawn Roland Kirk?
Yeah.
A white boy?
Yeah, a white boy. I went there. All right, Rashawn, thank you very much.
Is your wife full? Now, I want to ask Rashawn, is your wife full black or octoroon or what is she?
Full black. She's dark.
All right, she's not mahogany or kind of a chestnut. All right.
She's dark.
All right. Thanks very much, Rashawn, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Gia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Hi, Gia.
Hi. I'm calling because I totally disagree with Mrs. Biggins. First of all, she sounds very racist. And I don't know if you know about the movement that Martin Luther King Jr. fought for. Equality, honey. Look it up in the book. What does equality mean? Okay, so you're going to take us back to the 60s when we was getting our butt kicked, when we were fighting, when they wanted separate but equal. That's what you're talking about. You are talking about keeping racism segregated, and that's what
Martin Luther King
fought for. Didn't he fought for equality?
Right, he fought for equality. So why don't you go find yourself a white man?
Okay, so why can't anybody date whoever they want? I have an 8-year-old son. I'm an African-American
woman. Oh, my God. You want to get your little
boy? I have three brothers. My brothers say black, white, Mexican, mixed, whatever makes them happy.
Mink?
I mix black.
Like a mink.
I do not tell them who to date and why to date because like Rashawn, the other caller
said,
you should. Black men seek out the white women and you got it twisted.
No.
The white woman is at their every call, not the other way around.
I want to ask you something, Gia. Are you Muslim?
No, I'm not.
Where'd you get the name Gia?
I got from my mother. I have no idea. She said a nurse named me in the hospital.
And you're not Muslim?
I'm not Muslim.
Why do you think she's Muslim with the name Gia?
Yeah. Is that Muslim?
No, that's not a Muslim name.
I think it's Japanese.
Japanese?
Yeah.
Are you Buddhist?
No, I'm not. I'm black. I'm African American.
Are you Taoist? Are you Confucianist?
No, I'm not. Did you just hear me?
Are you black?
I am Baptist.
Are you Baptist or are you black? Are you Jewish?
No. Didn't I just say I was black?
She says she's black.
She's asking me, am I Jewish? Am I Buddhist?
Wait. And Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish. He black?
Lord.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
I'm not Sammy Davis Jr.
Have you got a reverse perm?
I am Baptist.
All right. Then I got another question. Have you a reverse perm or are you all natural with a fro?
Have I what?
Have you got the reverse perm? Do you jerry curl or is it a natural fro?
What the hell are you asking? I don't wear a perm, honey.
All right. So you got the jerry.
My dad is Indian and my hair is straight. Not stringy straight, but my hair is, I can get in the shower and wet my hair.
You're not one of these sisters claiming you an Indian, because I just told
you. No, I am not. I am African American. I just told you what I was.
Well, you said your dad was an Indian.
Okay, but that doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean
did I wear a perm, and I told you no, and I was telling you why. Do you wear a perm? Because you know what? I believe deep in your heart, are you married or divorced?
I am married. I'm married to Reverend Pastor William Redd.
Your second marriage? Because I believe down the line, some black man left you for a white woman.
I've got issues. Honey, I got a brother for do you crimp your hair?
Do I what?
Do you crimp?
Crimp.
Crimp your hair.
No, I don't.
All right, now let me ask you this. This is very important. Are you bald? Do you have weaves?
Why are you asking all these questions?
White women dating black men.
I want to know if you're a proud sister.
I'm a proud sister, honey. I got a black son with a black baby daddy.
I'm going to tell you this.
Okay,
are you stereotyping? No, I'm not.
Because, see, it's black women out here with five and six baby daddies.
We can
stereotype all day.
Well, that's
I don't
why
want
I'm
my brother
saying,
dating them.
Look at honey, you were out there and you see all them damn grill movies.
Ladies, hold on.
I want to answer, does she wear hoop earrings?
Will you forget about weaves?
What the hell is that?
All right, here's what I'm asking.
Here's what I want to ask you. No, I don't wear any earrings.
Right,
I don't wear makeup.
What is the point?
I am a natural,
Let me find out what the point of this is.
Here's my point, Phil.
Do you wear
earrings?
Do you have
a black woman is a white woman is no match for a black woman. When a black woman wants a black man, do you have rings around your neck like them people in Swaziland? No, you don't.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Is your hair a natural?
My hair, I conked it.
You crimped it?
No, I conked.
You what?
I conked it, darling. I straightened it out.
What, you straighten it out?
Yeah, I want to look like Pam Grier.
Okay, why do you want to look like the white woman?
When's the last time Pam Grier looked white? I want to look like Pam Grier.
What? Okay, but her hair is straight.
You're talking about white women, but you're
trying to look like them.
No.
You ain't no sister with that black power sign.
I snap my drum and I move my neck in a circle whenever I'm at.
Do you wear makeup? You sitting up there telling that caller,
yes,
the white woman would be on makeup. Do you have a makeup right now?
You know that hoochie mama, she had a purple
damn. I don't have any makeup, honey.
This has turned in.
So you don't wear no purple lipstick?
I don't wear nothing, honey. I don't wear nail polish.
You snap
nothing.
Your gum and move
I
your neck in a
natural.
Circle with your own.
I don't wear earrings.
Right.
I don't wear any type of jewelry.
Can I ask a question here? By insulting,
I have one ring,
hold on.
And that's
by
my wedding ring.
By insulting a lot of people tonight, Ms. Bingham, how do you hope to keep black men away from white women?
I'm trying to show how strong black women are and how a black man will be happy with a black woman instead of having some little vanilla snowflake hanging on his arm who's going to dump him in 6 months for the first white man to come
Why
along.
Why would they dump him? Okay, how come the black man can't dump the white woman? Why are you
black
saying
man,
you
it's impossible for a black man to dump a white woman?
He
all hooked
you
up.
Are, you keep saying
he's all
they're
messed up.
Go with them
all right, okay.
Dump him in 6 months.
Because the
you
black man's mind.
But
a white woman gets to a black man's mind is like a real good,
a
real good shot.
All right, look. Thank you very much for all of the comments that I've heard tonight. But I haven't understood the last 5 minutes of conversation. I picked up hoop earrings and conch.
That one more than says she can't name one show Shirley Hemphill was on. And I
get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you, Clara Bingham of Joyful Union Congregation. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, coming up on our next hour, we haven't talked to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County for quite some time. Larry will be talking with us as he continues to celebrate President Bush's victory in the election. And, you know, it's interesting, not 24 hours after Bush won, in came all of the requests from people. All right, okay, now don't rub it in. I mean, it was like 3 years of this constant pounding on Bush being a liar and being a, I don't know, a draftar, a cat that wasn't in the military. They had some problem with his military. And Bush being the worst president ever. And like 24 hours of people saying, this is really cool. And, all right, I just did that. Anyway, next hour is going to be Larry Grover. And we'll also have tonight Harvey Wehrman with Law Talk and another visit from Frank Chubb. And if you haven't gotten the news, and I'm sure you have, Scott Peterson is guilty as sin. Guilty, baby. Guilty. First-degree murder, and along with that, he's been found guilty of murdering his unborn son. That guy is dead meat, bud.
What are you going to do to him?
I don't know what they're going to do to him. They may put him in a, you know, like gas chamber or something.
Will they shoot him?
I don't think they're going to shoot him. If they give him the death penalty, he'll probably be in a gas chamber.
What's that?
It's a gas chamber. They drop gas on you.
Are they farted or something?
Don't be stupid, man.
No, I'm serious.
No, they don't fart into it. What a stupid question.
Well, what kind of gas?
I don't know, man. I'll find out.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our web address is www.philhendryshow.com, and the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD is available now on our website for sale, and all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. On the line with us tonight is Larry Grover, the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, one of the more active groups in the election of President Bush, and you guys have been celebrating. I want to get kind of a perspective now, a week and a half after. How you feeling?
Oh, absolutely wonderful, Phil. For us, this has been a great win by the president. And I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but the news has just reached us that with the absentee ballots being counted, President Bush's popular vote total has reached 60 million votes. His winning percentage now is 3%, 51 to 48%. It's just been a resounding victory and one that we're very, very gratified by.
Well, I know I heard a couple of people inside your organization that the celebrating, it hasn't gotten dangerous, a little controversial.
No, we're feeling, there's nothing dangerous about what we're doing. I take a little bit of exception to that. I don't know who you spoke to.
Well, let me tell you, because I heard this secondhand. Are you guys tailgating people with Kerry bumper stickers?
No, let's get back to the election's over, and I remarked to Mark Chris, who is our executive committee, that I still see Kerry Edwards bumper stickers on cars out there, and I'm sure your listeners listening to you right now do too. And the election's over, and these people are still driving around trying to get Kerry elected. So I don't know what their mindset is. But so I was with Mark Chris and Gene Drysdale from our executive committee, and we had just left our meeting this past Monday, and I saw a car on my right, and we were on the 101, and this car had the Kerry Edwards bumper sticker, and I said to Mark, see, that's what I'm talking about. And he nodded as if to say, you know, now I understand. So it was Gene who said, let's have a little bit of fun. So I got in behind this guy, and it was actually a couple of young guys. And I got in behind him, and I turned on my brights and started flicking them on and off. We're just letting off a little bit of steam and letting these Kerry people know that, you know, their guy lost and our guy won.
Yeah, but you continued to follow these guys as they tried to get over to the right. Isn't that right?
No, what we do, I don't know who you spoke with.
Well, I talked to Paul Cummings over there, who said that you guys were following these dudes with a Kerry bumper sticker.
No, what we did was they started moving. Paul wasn't in the car, so I don't know where he heard the story. But what we did was they started moving over to the right-hand lane. We followed them off the freeway. We didn't do anything other than just follow them with a bright side, and they looked a little scared. So when we went by them, I think it was Mark who stuck his hand out the window and flipped them off, and we went back to the freeway. One of the things I think you need to understand.
See, that sounds hostile to me, and it sounds a little bit it sounds a little dangerous.
No, you know, it's not. You need to understand this campaign. The only hostility in this campaign has been the unrelenting hostility that's been directed at President Bush. We're letting off a little bit of steam. Because, again, you got to understand the mindset of people who would still drive around with a Kerry Edwards bumper sticker on their car a week and a half after the election. That's real different, in my opinion. A week and a half after the election's over, they're still driving around with a Kerry Edwards bumper sticker. Now, what kind of a mind must a man have to be driving around with a bumper sticker?
Well, there are people who want to continue to show who their man was. They're proud of it.
And, all right, I understand that. But we get to show who our man was.
By flipping people off?
We got in behind these two guys and hit the brights. Let me tell you another story. Over in Garden Grove, I was with Sal Jacoby and his wife, and I know you know Sal.
Yes, I do.
And we were going out to dinner, and I was with a young lady, and Sal was with Mary Beth, his wife. And as I was getting off the freeway, we were on the Santa Ana, on the 5, I saw one of these SUVs. Now it's got a Kerry sticker, okay, on the back of the SUV. And this is California, so let me tell you, you see them all over the place. And so this SUV pulls into the lot of the Toreador, which was the restaurant we were going to. So I'm not following this guy at all. So I see who gets out of the car, and it's what you expect. It's some woman in her 40s or 50s. She's got a real sour look on her face. And I had the kid valet my car, so I went over to her vehicle, and I had a felt marker in the trunk, and I wrote loser right after the word Kerry on the sticker. Now, before you say
to me... See, to me, that's juvenile.
No, wait a minute. Before you say, I categorically reject, Phil, that it's juvenile. I'll tell you why. This president has been subjected to more outrageous slander and misrepresentation than any president in my memory. And I wrote loser on her bumper sticker. The sticker comes off. It isn't going to damage her car. And it serves the purpose of getting that person to wake up and take the idiotic thing off of their car.
All right, I'm talking with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You guys are having a little bit of fun driving around and flipping the brights on and off behind people with Kerry bumper stickers. And as I said, many people still want to show who their man was and that they're still proud of their choice. And that's why they keep the sticker on there.
Well, I mean, what is the mindset of a person who a week and a half after the election's over, they're still driving around with a sticker on their car trying to get the guy elected? I mean, that's... To me, that's real, real strange.
Larry, the L.A. Times had a story, if I could move on to something else. The L.A. Times had a news story about one of your members following a woman off the freeway for a mile and a half up into West Hills. She apparently had a Kerry sticker on her car, and this guy, Paul Coast...
Yeah, I know Paul, and I also know what really happened, okay?
All right, well, you know what really happened, but let me tell you, the Times says that he followed this woman with a Kerry sticker on her car. Times says, for a mile or so off the freeway until she turned into a highway patrol substation, absolutely frightened to her life.
I don't know what the point of the story is, Phil, other than to do what the L.A. Times does, which is to make up the news.
Mr. Coast had followed her for quite some time on the freeway, blinking his brights on and off and flipping her off, and he followed her off the freeway. She was scared to death.
But Paul had no intention of hurting her, And he told the police officer that, and I want to say also, this is typical of a Kerry supporter to be anti-cop until you need one, and then you go running to a CHP substation and have these guys go chase Paul down the hill. And he didn't do anything. He flipped his brights on and off, and I asked the arresting officer, because I had to, Ben Nielton, and I had to go down and post Paul's bond. I asked him, I said, doesn't it make you sick to your stomach to have to jail a Bush supporter and protect a Kerry supporter who on any other day is anti-cop? And I also asked him about the bumper sticker. Isn't that a provocation? And
well, how can that be a provocation? Are you talking about the bumper sticker being a provocation? It's designed to express political
Well, look, the election for president was over when Ohio returned blue. From that point on, people riding around with Kerry stickers on their cars are trying to provoke something, and they want to get something started. And it's a testament to Bush supporters that all we're doing is having some fun, blinking our brights, tossing people a bird, and scribbling on their precious bumper stickers. Holy jeez. You would think that...
Well, I disagree with you when you say that people driving around with Kerry and Edwards stickers are trying to provoke.
Well, what else do you call it? The guy lost on November the 2nd is still driving around. They're trying to get something going. And we're not taking the bait. All we're doing is flipping the brights on and off.
Well, the lady that's... When you follow a single woman off of the freeway for a mile and a half until she has to pull into a substation...
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear all of this because Paul didn't do a thing to her. All he did was follow her.
Didn't he flip his brights on and off?
He flipped his brights on and off. And the last time I checked, that's not a good... Look, again, we deserve to be able to celebrate this election somehow, but the Kerry people don't want us to because they don't want us to have a good time with the fact that they got their rear ends whooped. They didn't think they would. They thought they were going to win this thing going away. They wake up in the morning and they find out that they've gotten their rear ends kicked six ways to sunset. And, you know, and then they want everybody to just shut up about it and not say anything. So we're having a couple of laughs. But I can tell you again, and I will ask your audience, what kind of a mind does a human being have who's still trying to get Kerry elected by running around with a bumper sticker on that says Kerry Edwards, and the election was over a week and a half ago?
I try to explain that to you.
Well, you tried to, but the key word there is you tried.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County on, as he calls it, letting off a little bit of steam. You were following behind some guys, flipping the brights on and off. This guy, Paul Coast, was following behind somebody, flipping the brights on and off. You took out a felt marker and wrote loser after the word Kerry on the bumper sticker.
All of these, I suppose you're going to try to characterize all of these as some kind of a capital crime. Look, Phil, what we're doing...
No, it's not. It could be seen as vandalism. And
okay. You know, you sound like a Kerry supporter now. You really do.
No, I'm trying to see this from both sides, which is the way I'm supposed to do it.
All right, you can do it the way you're supposed to do it. Let me do it the way I'm supposed to do it. Some guy driving out there with a Kerry Edwards sticker, so I drive by the guy and I flip him the bird. You call that some sort of a Scott Peterson mass murder. I call it having a little bit of a laugh.
Flipping somebody on, man. You know that person, if you flip on the wrong person, they're liable to chase you down?
The wrong guy, yeah, you're absolutely right. But I'm flipping on somebody who supports Kerry and Edwards, and I doubt very seriously whether the kind of individual that would that Kerry drew to vote for him is the kind of guy that's you know, going to get physical when you flip him off. Plus, you have to understand, he knows that he deserves it because he still has that sticker on his car, and he might as well have a sign on the back of his car that says "F you, George Bush." For all of that sign, that bumper sticker, the good that it's doing, you might as well just have a thing that says, George Bush can rot in hell. And I just don't buy it.
Well, I don't buy that that's what it says.
Well, if you'd been in a car with us the other night, you would have had a couple of laughs.
I don't see how that's funny, and I don't see how it's adult. Chasing people around who have Kerry stickers on their cars, flipping them off, flipping your brights on and off, and scaring them half to death. Larry Grover with Conservatives of Kern County on the aftermath of the election. He is obviously a Bush supporter. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I think people should be allowed to keep their bumper stickers on their car as long as they want. If it says Kerry Edwards, it says Kerry Edwards. If you want to keep talking about who you're supporting, I think that's totally legitimate. To be flipped off or to be chased and have the brights flashed in your rearview mirror because you got a Kerry Edwards sticker, a little much. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Back in a moment.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Popeye, why don't you grab a piece of spinach and slide off?
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You're out in the... Larry Grover's with her. You out in the car right now?
We're out right now, Phil, yeah. And look it. I want to say this, and I want to say it as clearly as I can. We're not out here trying to hurt anybody. No, we're just looking for Carrie and Edwards bumper stickers, and we're reminding them that they have that ridiculous thing still in their car. That's all we're doing.
You don't see... How chasing a young woman...
I understand how a young lady might be frightened, but he didn't do anything. He flipped his brights on and off.
Followed her all the way to a CHP substation.
Yeah, and then she turns around and has him arrested. See, these are Carrie people. They hate cops until they need one. All right? And that's what I said to that CHP guy. I said, doesn't it make you want to puke your guts out having to put a Bush supporter in jail and protect a Carrie supporter? And
what did he say?
You know, he shrugged his shoulders like he's a cop. What's he going to say?
All right, 1-800...
I mean, cops, who can figure him?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover with us. Since the defeat of John Kerry, they've been out in traffic, honking at, putting their brights on and off behind Kerry stickers, flipping them off. How old are you, Larry?
I suppose you're going to say that I'm juvenile.
No, just how old are you?
I'm 37.
37 years old, riding around with your pals, flipping people off.
Phil, you can characterize it any way you want. We're letting off some steam and we're not hurting anybody. And how dare you say that I'm juvenile when it's the Kerry supporters who are so stupid they can't figure out he lost.
I told you why they got the sticker still in their car. Let me go over here to Sally. Sally, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, I just really don't think it matters. This whole country is based on freedom of speech. If people want to drive around with Kerry Edwards stickers for the next 20 years, then they are entitled to do so. It doesn't matter that he lost the election. No, it doesn't.
Well, all right, but what's wrong with me? Tonight, I'll tell you what we're doing right now, Sally. We're up on a 210 freeway, and when I see a Kerry bumper sticker, I've got a kind of a PA here that's not working right now. I guess you can hear the feedback on it.
Hey, loser!
All right, a car just went by us right now at 8.
So what are you doing?
I got the PA out the window and called him a loser. Big deal.
That is so immature. Do you not have anything better to do with your time than to do this?
This is...
We are in a war right now when you are riding around yelling at people.
No, ma'am, this is...
Even though they could possibly support our troops who are overseas. Just because you have a Kerry Edwards bumper sticker does not mean you don't support the fact that President Bush... is our president.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, I'd have to disagree with you there, Sally. Edwards bumper sticker means you hate President Bush?
That is not true.
Oh, come on. You people hate it.
I voted for Senator Kerry. Would you let me finish? I voted for Senator Kerry.
Well, ma'am,
but you know what?
I know you people hate our president.
He cannot win, but I accept the fact that President Bush is my president, and I will support him in any decision he makes because he is my leader.
Hold on for a minute. Would you not do that while you're on the air with us, Ted?
I saw another sticker. I want to ask Sally something. You know full well, as a Kerry supporter, you people hated President Bush, and you wanted to see him dead. And
that
no,
is
no,
not
whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't know where you are.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me, did you see that article in The Guardian in Britain? They said, "Where John Wilkes Booth, where are you now?" You didn't hear that? That was for Kerry people.
You all want to kill Senator Kerry, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to kill Kerry, because if it did, who'd notice? But President Bush,
Lord.
Look at, hold on for a minute.
Loser, why'd you get the sticker off your car, you stupid?
See, that's what I'm trying.
Don't you feel a little stupid?
No, I do not.
You should.
Well, Sally, as a Kerry supporter, you're just upset because you're probably still driving around with a sticker on your car trying to get him elected.
You know what? No, I'm not. I don't have a sticker on my car. I never had a sticker on my car. But if someone wants to drive around with one on their car, then that's fine because this country is based on freedom of speech. And if they want to do that, that's fine. And they should not have to drive around in fear that some crazy lunatic like you is going to come up and bright light them.
You know,
well, ma'am, I'm not hurting anybody.
Way.
I'm not hurting anybody.
It doesn't matter that you're not hurting anybody. I'm sure you're not going to. I don't think that you are. I'm not even trying to insinuate that you are a violent man.
I have to ask my guest not to do that while you're on the air with us talking to a caller.
I'm sorry.
That is so rude.
Oh, listen to you. Yeah, the Kerry supporters, they're the ones that called President Bush a liar and all of this. Now they're saying we're rude. Look, Sally, you're a nice lady. I'm sure you're, you know, all that and a bag of chips, too. But the fact is our president deserves to get a little bit of payback. There goes another one. I'm not allowed to say anything. Is that right, Mr. Henry?
I'd rather you not.
I've seen about 3 Kerry stickers.
I support President Bush. You know what? I do. I support everything.
How can you say
it
that? How can
that
you say that when days before the election, Kerry supporters wanted Bush dead?
Whoa, man.
Where are you from?
Oh, they all did. You know that. Look, I can't resist this. This guy's got 2 of them.
Hey, jackass, Kerry lost.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're actually funny, Ted.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, first of all, my name is Larry.
I'm sorry. I mean Larry.
And secondly, you may think I'm funny, but I believe so very much in this president and his historic mission. There goes another one. Sally, you're a nice lady, and I don't mean anything personal to you, but you don't have the sticker on your car, which tells me you've got more brains than the average Kerry supporter.
All right, Sally, look, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Moving over to Beth. Beth, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
You know what? I cannot believe I'm hearing what I'm hearing from your mouth. If I was driving down the road and I started getting followed with my kids in the car, and you're following me, I'd be scared to death. I don't care
what sticker
I have on my car.
That's what I'm trying to say, Ted. A woman.
This lady that Paul Coast followed did not have children in the car. She was some broad. I don't mean broad, but she was just, who knows, you know, driving around.
It's not just that, though. It's the idea that, you know what, it doesn't matter what side of what opinion you have. If you've got a sticker on your car, there's going to be nut jobs like this Larry guy driving around thinking, oh, hey, she's got a sticker for kids on board. I'm going to go follow her, scratch up her car.
What? What are you talking about? I say kids on board. I said Kerry stickers.
The point is, but there are nut jobs like you for every opinion.
Ma'am, we don't have to
agree with anybody.
Ma'am, conservatives of Kern County does not have anything problem with women who are mothers. We got a problem with John Kerry.
There are plenty of people who have a problem if you have an opinion on the.
Because Kerry lost. You still got the sticker? Yeah, you're stupid.
I just think that it's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, say that again?
If you're listening to people, you would hear what she said instead of monkeying around with that bullhorn.
Listen, every single time that somebody has an opinion, you are going to be the person out there, because you don't like their opinion, scratching up their car, marking up their car, following them on the road.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. One 800-449-8686.
Hey.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, what, Ted?
All right, just hold on for a minute. Hey, Phil, hold on.
Hey, sir, right here, sir. Hi, how you doing? Hey, stupid, you know that Kerry lost last Tuesday? Huh?
Yeah.
By the way, you still have a sticker on your car, you dumbass.
He drove away. You know, Phil, one of the things...
Dumbass? See, that's harassment. That's insulting.
Oh, since when have we got asses so tender around here that we can't take a little bit of ribbing over the fact that we still got a Kerry sticker on our car, even though the guy... It's a week and a half.
What do you want people to do, man? The day after the election, go out and razor blade it off?
Well, what's the point of driving around with it on? Hi, I think I'd like you to vote for John Kerry. Oh, I'm sorry, the election's over. Man.
The fact that...
No, really, to me, it is the height of arrogance, thinking that you can still get the guy... Because you realize there's some people out there still holding out hope that they'll find some absentee ballot someplace, they'll find a collection of ballots stuffed behind a sofa somewhere, and there'll be just enough to push him over the top. You know that, don't you?
I think there's a few extreme clowns out there, yeah, but most people have accepted the outcome of this election, including John Kerry himself. 1-800-449-8686. On with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. We're talking about the aftermath of the Bush election. You're driving around, Ted. You say having fun and letting off steam by flipping off people who have Kerry stickers, flashing your brights on and off, and now you got a bullhorn in the car yelling at them and calling them dumbasses and losers. And you don't consider that to be juvenile or harassing.
I'll tell you what was juvenile. Calling the President of the United States, comparing him to Hitler. That's not only juvenile, that's so stupid, I don't even know where to begin with it. And I don't think there's anything we're doing that's as bad as that.
I would agree that the comparison to Hitler was idiotic, too. 1-800-449...
Well, thank you.
1-800-449-8686. You think I don't agree? I don't ever agree with you, Larry. I do.
Well, tonight you seem to be taking the side of these Kerry people who on any other given night would be happy to hear that President Bush has come down with AIDS.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not kidding you. On any other night, these Kerry supporters would be skipping with glee if they heard that Bush had a heart attack. That's what we're dealing with here. That's right. Hold on for a minute.
Hey.
Hold on.
Ted, I want to get to some calls.
No, hold on. You got to hear. Wait a minute.
Hey. Yeah, you. What's that on the back of your car? I think it says, did John Kerry is the president. Did he die? Hey, the president, this is the president.
He drove away. Hello?
I'm here. 1-800-449-8686. Rhonda, go ahead.
Hi Larry.
Rhonda.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Larry, this is Rhonda. I'm in Las Vegas, and a couple of points. First of all, I'm a diehard Bush supporter. Excuse me, sir.
Yes, ma'am, I'm
here. At least do a courtesy and show a little respect.
Yes, ma'am,
here.
I'm listening to you. Just feedback from the bullhorn. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, a little bit of respect. I am a Bush... Excuse me. I am a Bush supporter.
Just turn it off,
he
Ted.
I'm trying to turn it off. Hold on.
Turn it off, man.
This guy's unbelievable.
It's off.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Show a little respect here. I am a diehard Bush supporter. That is my president. I support every action in regards to the war, in regards to terrorism and everything else that he has done. And I am ashamed to have you as part of my party, and I guarantee you my president would not condone your actions of retribution.
Very well
said.
And if
a crazy person followed me down a highway, flashing their lights and flipping me off, you are damn straight I would go straight to a police station. I'm a human being. Show me some damn respect.
I'm not going to do anything to you, Rhonda. You're a Bush supporter, and you're not a Kerry supporter, so stupid you got the sticker on the car.
But why does
that
person...
That's right, but there's a better way to act like that. I'm ashamed to have you as part of my party.
All right, well, what's wrong with what we're doing tonight?
My president probably would be ashamed to have you doing this.
All right,
his name.
Right,
how dare you embarrass us this way?
Well, hold on. Let's say everything you're saying is correct, all right? Let's say we don't follow women down the road anymore. What's wrong with
not
the bullhorn?
Not just women, people, anyone.
What's wrong with the bullhorn? What's wrong with
not,
you?
Let me tell you something. I'm 36 years old, sir. And I can find a better way to fight stupidity and support for Kerry other than to stooping to their level and acting like an idiot.
Ted, I want to say something to you. The last time I pulled stuff like this, I was like 16.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, so here we go. Now I'm being juvenile. Is that it?
I'm sorry, but you are. I'm ashamed. That I'm embarrassed. And I bet you if Mr. Bush were to hear this, our wonderful president,
when can a man have a little bit
ashamed
of fun in this world? After 3 years of trying to get this man reelected, President Bush, a man that we all love.
It scares me that you think it's fun to scare other people.
I'm not scared. I'm just, look, here comes a guy here. Hold
but
on.
But you are
don't
scaring
do it.
Hold on, here
whether you
this
want to admit that or not, you are scaring them.
Hold on, this is some old guy. Look at
this. Unbelievable. And that right there shows the amount of respect he has for himself or any other human being.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed.
You're scared of some old guy.
I am truly ashamed, and there's a better way to fight politics than to be as nasty as this.
But, Rhonda, these Kerry people wanted our president dead from cyanide poisoning.
Oh, come on.
You are way far down a road making way too many assumptions.
No,
there may have been some idiot out there that spoke those type of words, but that doesn't mean every supporter out there agrees.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're a much better person than me. You're more forgiving than me. These Kerry supporters, I think we ought to make them bleed, and I mean bleed from every hole, because...
Oh, would you watch your language?
Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed, and I bet my president is ashamed.
Are you following that old man? Leave him alone.
Hold on for a minute.
What are you going
to do? What's your culpability when you scare a little old person driving down the road and they have a heart attack?
Exactly.
I hope, sir, that you get sued.
All right. Rhonda, thank you so much for your call. Very good call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Kay. Hi, Kay. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. Hi, Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
What right do you have harassing people and damaging their property?
Well, I didn't damage anybody's property.
This is America. It's a free country. You can believe as you wish. You can leave your bumper sticker on all year if you want. You can leave your Christmas lights on your house all year if you want without worrying about someone coming and harassing you and making you feel bad because you just happen to like it.
Let me ask you something. What property did I damage?
You touched her car.
That's not damaging her property. That's not damaging her property, touching her car.
Well,
but
it is.
You wrote on her bumper sticker.
You have no right infringing or touching her car.
Did I really write on her bumper sticker? Oh, my God. It must be worth 50 cents.
I don't care. It's a free country, and
of course it's a free country.
We don't need people like you harassing us for having our own...
Hey. Are you a Democrat? No? You vote for Kerry? I guess you can take that sticker off now because she was
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was good. You should have seen the look the guy gave me.
I think there's a law against driving while distracted.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this, Mr. Henry.
I think you can get a ticket for that.
These losers that are driving around with their Kerry stickers, somebody ought to remind... You know, the morning after the election, I'll never forget.
Another thing, I saw this guy driving down the road. You've got this whole thing all wrong because...
Turn that thing off. Not everybody
wished Bush ill.
What? Everybody that voted for Kerry wanted Bush to come down with a case of beriberi.
Absolutely, in a world of your own, because that's not the real world.
Hold on for a minute.
That's totally...
There's a guy here that wants me to pull over. I'll pull over. Tell him I'll pull over.
Larry, you're going to get hurt.
This guy is going to get a ticket.
All right, Kay, thank you for your call.
He's going to cause somebody to have an accident.
He's acting like he's a juvenile out on Colorado Boulevard, and it's New Year's Eve. Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Todd, go ahead.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Hey, that's your caller there. What does he know about Bush? Bush knew about that those high explosives being stolen out of Iraq.
Hey, listen, Todd, why don't you do us all a favor, huh? Go vote for Kerry a few more 1,000 times. Maybe he'll get elected.
Can you say anything positive about this whole thing? Say something positive.
Yeah, I'm going to say something positive. Bush got elected.
No. Say something positive about everybody in the United States. Everybody.
Okay, everybody in the United States isn't you.
Well, that's negative. Now, I'm going to tell you something that Bush knew, but he didn't tell the people in the United States.
Hey, Todd, it's all over. It's old news, pal. Old news. Hey, hold on. Here comes that old guy.
That's a Bush boy. You got to interrupt.
Hey, Pops.
Don't be a listener.
I can't hear what anybody's saying here, all right?
Well, this guy's just babbling.
I'm not talking. You're not.
All right, listen. Todd, before you vote for Kerry, can you take the sweat sock off your cell phone next time you use it?
I started first. Now listen.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
What happened to the caller?
I hung up on him.
How can you hang up on him? Drew, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, I want to ask you a question. I'm in the service, and I voted for Kerry. What do you think of me?
What part of the service?
You're in support of the service. You just got
what part of the service are you in?
I'm in the Coast Guard.
Okay, well, why don't you go inflate somebody's inner tube?
What is that supposed to mean?
He's in the Coast Guard.
Wait a minute. I just came off of a 110-foot patrol craft that was in Iraq for a year.
I thought you guys gave swimming lessons.
I cannot believe you. You're a diehard Bush fan. You're supposed to support the troops, right? That's what Bush is about.
I do. I support the troops, not some guy who gives swimming lessons.
You're telling me to go blow up RAF. Larry, you're telling me to blow up RAF.
Drew, I support the troops, not lifeguards.
What are you calling the Coast Guard? Lifeguards?
Well, ain't that what they do?
Are you an idiot or something? The guy just said he was deployed to Iraq.
To do what? Monitor the beaches?
No. Hey, listen. Listen to me. There's 10 110-foot patrol boats over there. And two 378-foot boats over there. Right now.
You know what? If you don't stop that with that bullhorn, I am hanging up on you.
All right. I just want to ask this guy, Drew. Doesn't the Coast Guard save beach whales? Isn't that what you guys do?
The man just said he was deployed to Iraq. All right. Do you understand?
You're not listening to me. That's fine. That's fine. You know what? Educate yourself. Go online. Go online. Educate yourself.
The only time I go online, my man, it ain't to go visit the Coast Guard website. I can tell you that.
Okay, obviously not, because I don't think you understand what Homeland Security is. Isn't that what the Coast Guard does?
Well, if you voted for Jerry, neither do you. Hey, let me ask you something. Is it hard shooting a harpoon?
You're amazing.
Really?
You're amazing.
What, are you guys mad at me?
Yes, I'm mad at you. The man's a member of the United States military. Can I have a little respect for him?
Are you serious?
Yes!
He's in the Coast Guard, really?
Yes!
No, I really am in the Coast Guard. Look me up. Hey, you know what? I'll leave. I don't know. Am I allowed to give my name?
Don't do it, man. You got to get a bunch of freaks out there.
All right, whatever. But the point is this. I would never disgrace the country by coming on this radio station saying that I'm in the Coast Guard if I'm not. I am.
But you already disgraced the country by voting for Kerry.
Will you let this guy finish?
You're amazing. You're amazing.
Oh, and voted for a guy that would have gotten you shot right in the back. Good thing that, better people prevailed over your vote. Hey, have you ever seen a great white shark?
Will you listen to this man and quit mocking him?
Hey, Larry, if you noticed, I stopped talking when you start talking.
Yeah. What do you want?
I saw you doing my car.
What did I do?
I saw you.
I'm on the radio right now.
No, I saw you doing my car.
I didn't do any of your car.
Yeah, you did.
Are you hearing this?
I have no idea what's going on.
You remember that guy that said he was going to pull over for him?
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I think he just got his ass kicked. You there, Drew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, sir, and say what you wanted to say. Maybe we can actually hear it without that idiot.
Okay, here's the point. My point's simple. At the beginning, I wasn't even going to mention I was in the Coast Guard, but I wanted to see what he thought of the services.
My ass.
Hang on, I want to see what happened to Larry.
Go ahead. And your comment is?
I just wanted to see what he thought of the military, that's all.
Okay.
And he proved his point. I'm glad there's people like him, because people like him are going to keep Republicans from being elected again. Hey, I'm sorry I'm a Democrat, but you're
I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat, too, but I just happened to vote for Bush.
Which is fine. There's
absolutely
nothing wrong with that.
Please don't hurt me.
I think I don't know what's been going on. I don't even know if I've been doing a talk show. I heard Larry get his ass kicked. This poor man trying to get his words in, being in the Coast Guard, and Larry keeps asking about harpooning whales. And he's got his loudspeaker. It would serve him right if somebody flagged him over, he stopped and got his ass kicked. That'll be the end of his days going, "Hey, Pops, did you hear Kerry lost?" 1-800-449-8686. Next hour, it's Frank Chubb, Law Talk with Harvey Wireman, and a few other little tidbits we have to offer you on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Can I get one more thing in, Phil?
Go ahead.
If you want to email me, you can email me at LarryGrover@PhilHendryShow.com. That's LarryGrover@PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendrie. And I'm going to get the mail there.
I got one more phone call here with Sally. Go ahead, Sally.
Hi, Larry.
How you doing, Sally?
Hello, this is Sally from Northern California.
Yes, dear.
And as a Bush supporter, I really think to hire a patrol or to hunt you down and pull you off the freeway, it is not right what you're doing. You're not thinking clearly, and that's not the kind of people that Bush needs.
Well, Sally, it may interest you to know that I just got my rear end kicked by a large African-American gentleman.
Well,
so
but the thing
hurts.
Is, more than that, you've got to change your whole mindset. And
what?
Mr. Henry is giving you a hell of a lot of time.
Turn that
freaking thing
off.
Yeah, I agree. Giving you to kind of vent all this, but you're not making sense.
Well, I'm not making sense. I'm saying the following. For 3 years, they laid it on George Bush pretty thick. They had a lot of fun at his expense. And now that he's won, I'm running around after these people with the Kerry stickers, and I'm letting them know what
for. Yeah, but they don't understand. They may not even associate your rude behavior.
Stupid. Kerry lost.
Yeah, no, but Bush needs strong people, not weak people, and you're coming across really weak. We need strong
people.
Turn
that thing off, man, or I'm hanging up on you. So help me God.
Get him off or get the highway patrol on him. Thank you very much.
The highway patrol? What's that?
The highway patrol needs to get you off the freeway. You're not safe.
Did you hear what you said? You said the highway patrol.
The highway patrol.
Let me explain something. A man that looks like Mr. T just pulled my undershorts completely up to my rump.
Well, maybe you deserved it. You're making an ass of yourself. I mean, I'm a Bush supporter. And yet you are not coming across as anybody I'd want to even be around.
Well, Sally, you can say what you're saying, but you just called it the Howdy Doody Patrol.
Oh, come on.
People
you know, you've got to grow
hard.
Up. You do sound like an 18 or 19-year-old, not a man. What'd you say you were, 38 years old?
I'm 37 years old. I'm doing very vital work for our president right now.
God, you're not either. He would be mortified, you know? He's a Texan. I've lived in Texas. They won't put up with your crap.
Next thing you'll be doing is throwing water balloons.
Who, me?
No, I'm telling Larry this.
Well, you know, if the shoe fits, water balloons sounds pretty good to me.
Well, you've got to take a deep breath, or you're just going to explode with a heart attack or something.
Well, Sally, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words...
Da-da-da-da-da-da. But the thing is, you got to grow up.
All right, that does it.
Bye-bye.
There, that's for you. Nice going, Phil. Your demographic's really getting down there.
Well, she wanted to talk to you.
Well, I didn't want to talk to her. Oh, hold on.
Hey, Grandma. Grandma, how you doing? Good night, huh? Hey, Grandma, I don't know if you know it or not, but you got a kid.
Well, I don't know what Grandma did, but I'm glad. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
I saw her walking just a few steps in front of me at the farmer's market. That was where it all began. That is where I was planning on telling my grandchildren. Your grandma and I met while shopping for fruit on 3rd and Fairfax. This woman put a spell on me without even trying. Her walk was rhythmic, like the pulse in my temples when I first laid eyes on her. Thick chestnut hair in spirals cascaded down her shoulders and back. She stopped. Ah, this is my chance to walk up and say hi. You don't know me, but you will. Ah, she's off again now, moving through the crowd like a graceful swan. I'm keeping a steady pace, matching her footsteps with mine. Her figure was amazing, waifish yet proportioned. Simply striking would be the best words I could come up with as I kept my pace behind her, nervously tucking in my shirt, making sure my breath wasn't going to turn her off the instant I said hello. She stopped again. Now's my chance. I know the second she sees me, she'll feel the same way I do. We're soulmates. Our love will last forever. Oh my, be still my heart. She's turning around. I'll now be able to see the face of my angel for the first time. Yep, she looks just like Roddy McDowell. Never mind. Biff never did marry his love. The woman he's married to now looks like James Garner. Okay, that was pretty weird. 1-800-449...
What was that about?
Don't comment on it.
I mean, Roddy McDowell.
You know who that is?
No.
Who's this guy? Oh, okay. Well, that's descriptive.
This guy.
Who told you you get to butt in?
What do you mean?
Who told you you get to butt in every time I do something? To comment.
Well, that was really stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
Well, you did. Forget it.
Oh, look at what a baby.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks, bud, for the commentary.
Her face looked like Roddy McDowell's.
Roddy McDowell was this guy that was, he was an actor, an English actor. He was a guy. So what do you think of a chick that looks like a guy?
You mean like Aphrodite Jones?
Yes. By the way, our web address is www.philhendryshow.com and our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. We don't have a mailbag tonight, do we? How come?
There wasn't enough email to really pull from.
Oh, great. Forget it, man. I think we ought to can the mailbag. You know, it's really kind of, it's stupid. I don't like it. There's no, it's either, see, one of the things about mailbags, like a lot of ass-licking calls, you know, either they really love you, and you don't want to read those, and I don't want to read all the political ones, because what am I going to do? Just read them and get frustrated? And because you don't, you keep giving the same answer to the same stupid questions, and then what's left? Every now and again, someone brings up, remember we used to do the funniest lines of the show? Do we have those anymore? I used to have a link on our website for that, the show's funniest lines. That's gone. Boy, what's happened to this show anyway? We used to have some really cool bits. Now we don't do it. What happened to the show's funniest lines? I used to have a link on the website for that. Maybe we can get that regenerated. Well, who knows? So we won't have a mailbag, but we do have coming up, I think, Harvey Wireman with his law talk, and we'll also have a visit with Frank Chubb. Find out what's going on with him. If I don't hear another word out of him, it'll be too soon. Frank Chubb. By the way, I shouldn't say Frank Chubb. He had his name officially changed to Chubby Chubb. I forgot. Anyway, we'll take a look now at the news in the Phil Hendry world and yours as well. Just to kind of around the dial here, around the newspaper thing. Mall rapist James Perry was sentenced to 250 years in a packed Dane County courtroom Thursday, wherever Dane County is, Wisconsin, as 19 of the victims and their families looked on. He said that he would sell his soul to Satan to be forgiven by all of these people. Well, that sounds pretty good. What's the big deal with his story? Well, he sounds like a nice guy to me. Sure, he's a mall rapist, but... Doctor discovers the orgasmatron. Dr. Stuart Malloy was working on a new device to treat chronic pain. He was surprised to discover it would also bring pleasure to his female patients. While Malloy, an anesthetologist and pain specialist in Winston-Salem, was putting an electrode into the spine of a female patient with chronic back pain, the woman reported a decrease in her pain and a delightful but very unexpected side effect. She had an orgasm. Oh, bull crap. That's my comment on that. Bull crap. Oscar-winning filmmakers Brian Grazer and Ron Howard are in negotiation to sign on as executive producers of NBC's September 11th themed miniseries. If a deal could be worked out, they would work alongside Speed screenwriter Graham Yost, who was already attached to develop and executive produce the still-untitled project. Grazer and Howard won Oscars for A Beautiful Mind. Sources said NBC's developing the project as an 8-hour limited series event. There's no word yet on a target premiere date. Sources said Imagine principals Grazer and Howard, along with the vice president of something or other, David Nevins, whoever he is, responded with great enthusiasm after being approached. So they're going to do a miniseries on 9/11, and I'm sure it'll just absolutely be the exact event that we all remember. I'm sure they won't take any editorial privileges with that at all, will they? It's going to be like a whole week of NBC's spin on what happened on 9/11. So if you don't see anything you recognize, just don't worry, baby. They're probably laying it out the way it really should have been in the first place. Washington woman takes revenge on a wrong man. A woman who was angry about finding her ex-boyfriend with another woman took her frustration out by ramming his car. Then she found out it was the wrong guy. They arrested her. She's a dummy. Border inspectors find a girl sealed in a piñata. They say they've seen all kinds of attempts to smuggle people into the country, but this was such an odd case. The little girl was inside of a piñata. She was 4 or 5. She was meticulously sealed inside, but she was able to breathe. The girl's mother was curled up inside the car's trunk, and her brother, who's about 9, was underneath the collapsible back seat. What's so good about coming into America, man? Well, they start paying the taxes around here, huh?
Funny.
Parents and students say they're outraged and offended by a proposed band name and song scheduled for a high school talent show. The students told ABC News affiliate KMGH in Denver they're performing Bob Dylan's song Masters of War, but some students and adults who heard the band rehearsed called a radio talk show Thursday morning saying the song sang ended with a call for President Bush to die. What? Threatening the presence of federal crime, so the Secret Service was called to the school. Students of the band said they're just singing the lyrics and not inciting anyone to do anything. The song ends with the lyrics, "You might say that I'm wrong, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, that I'm younger than you. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do, and I hope that you die and your death will come soon. I will follow your casket in the pale afternoon." Well, Dylan, if you know the song, he ain't singing about Bush. He ain't even singing about anybody other than just the masters of war. They could be singing about Osama bin Laden. Ah, that's lame. After years of tension between two communities mourning the second worst airline disaster, nah, that sucks. Milwaukee may still kill Bush and Kerry. What is with these headline writers? Apparently Milwaukee wants to bill Bush and Kerry for the expense of having their rallies there. They want to build the campaigns. The headline, they may kill Bush and Kerry. Feds to seek death for New York City's last night. You know what? There ain't nothing in the news. Sorry I bothered. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'll tell you one thing that looks a little strange to me, although I should be used to it by now, because every time I see some kind of film footage or a TV show from, like, the Middle East, it's got, generally, there's going to be at least one or two scenes with a big mob of people pumping their fists in the air or looking as if, you know, for all the world, like they're trying to kill each other, but they're having a party. I mean, I don't know, like this Arafat funeral? It looked like they were going to take his coffin and start taking it apart. The weirdest thing I've ever seen. Now, maybe, of course, I don't understand the culture of the Middle East, that they're a very passionate people. And do you ever notice, for instance, like when there's they need to get a guy to the hospital and it's in Palestine, there's six guys dragging the dude along the ground. You see, they don't have a stretcher, so there's six guys carrying a guy. Anywhere else, maybe they throw him on a stretcher or something and throw him in an ambulance, but over there, they're like just dragging the guy. And his Arafat funeral, was it a funeral or were they just, it looked like a mosh pit. And they were, instead of the lead singer of some band, it was Arafat's coffin. They were passing over their heads. But not before they threw it off a stage. I mean, the thing looks like a freaking mob scene. Now, I know it probably sounds like I'm the entitled Westerner talking about the strange, curious habits of perhaps a regressive people. I don't mean to sound like that, but if you're going to stick a guy in the ground, isn't there supposed to be some sort of a processional, a funeral? I mean, this guy was the president. Imagine if, like, we were burying a president ourselves, like Reagan. What if they were passing his box over everybody's head? I don't know. It's the way they do it over there. That's cool. In fact, now that I look at it, I think whenever I go, I think I'd like to go that way. Just take my box and pass it over everybody's head and then drop it into the ground, throw a few shovels of dirt onto it, and split. They had a big picture of the guy, and then there were some dudes that were in a truck, and as soon as they got the box from everybody, or maybe that's the way they do it. Everybody wants to touch the coffin, so they pass it over everybody's head. And into the ground he goes. Boy, what a life that was lived with much controversy, and certainly a life that was lived having an impact on every possible event internationally at one time or another. It was Yasser Arafat today, laid in the ground with much unceremony. Almost as if they were like moving furniture out of a house. Or they were, passing crates to each other as they're trying to load a van. All right, let's get the other body over here. Let's go. Hey, there goes Arafat's box right over our head, man. What if he fell out of the box and he got lost in the mosh pit? What if all of a sudden you just see the box open up and the body falls out? Then you see all these things, oh, geez, die! Like when Castro, did you see the film of Castro tripping? And 86 guys are like all over him. Now, you know that when someone has a potential bone break, you're not supposed to move them. You're supposed to just, you know, you don't want to move them because you may make the break worse, right? But these clowns are so intent on making sure that Castro notices they're very solicitous and they care about him. They don't care if he's got a compound fracture. As soon as he fell, 50 guys grabbed him, just, oh, God, you know, dragging him along the floor, just dragging him by his hands to the hospital. We'll take care of you, Mr. Presidente. It hurts. Wait, come on. Oh, it's all right. Guys are pulling my leg out of the socket. No, 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 come on. Bouncing him down some stairs. So there's Arafat's box being passed along the heads of everybody. All of a sudden, it tilts over and the body falls out. And then there's a whole crazy scene trying to find out what part goes with what, you know, because I don't know. Maybe the thing's decomposed enough now where it's like there's a leg here, a hand there. I don't know. People say, why don't you have any respect? I do have respect. That's about the respect I got.
Who was in the coffin?
Who have I been talking about?
Arafat?
Yeah!
Well, what are you talking about, the hand here and the leg there?
I'm talking about when they were passing the guy over everybody's head like it was in a freaking mosh pit. Who was in the coffin?
Well, how do you know?
Because that's who they said died.
So you're pretty sure he was in a box then?
You know something, Dickman? Your stupid question sometimes, it kind of resonates with me.
Well, maybe it was a stunt double or something. How do you know he's dead?
Oh, so now you're telling me it was a conspiracy. Is that it?
It could be. The way everything's gone in this world.
Prove it. Give me some evidence. That's my new thing now. When somebody comes up with a conspiracy theory, I say, give me evidence.
Maybe the frogs still have him.
Maybe, but give me some evidence of that.
Maybe he's with Bin Laden or something.
It could be a lot of things, but you got to give me some evidence.
That's what they said about Elvis. But he ain't dead. I bet Elvis and Arafat are lounging in Gay Paris. Probably having a cup of espresso, lighting one of them gold wild blue cigarettes. You don't know. It could be.
But there's a lot of crap that could be.
Maybe he's visiting Bush in a rose garden. Hee 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 hee.
He's dead, man. Don't worry about it. He's dead. He's croaked. And they're going to shove him in the ground and then on with the rest of the mess in that part of the world. But I say good riddance. Personally, that's all I'm saying.
Pretty mean to say that about a dead guy.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't give a crap what I think. I'm just some hot air in Los Angeles, California, USA. What do they care what I think?
Maybe he's learning karate from Bruce Lee.
Yeah, maybe, man. Maybe he's learning how to sing blues from Jim Morrison, too. And maybe not. Maybe the guy's just dead. Moldering in the ground. Worm food, baby. That's where we all wind up. Doesn't matter who we are. Anyway, he was a funny little guy. I'm going to kind of miss the guy with that funny little that tablecloth on his head and that goofy way that he walked and that little pistol on his belt that he never used and those big, fat, thick lips of his and that just, he was a freak. So he's done, man. I guess the next thing that they're expecting are just like full-scale riots because, well, isn't that what they do down there after they have after one of their guys dies? They just go out and they riot, man. They just start busting down stores and calling for the death of Jews and just blah, 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 blah. Same old, man. The guy's going to die. Now, they got a new guy down there, Abbas. He's the president. Notice nobody elects these guys. They just, all of a sudden, they're just named. Like I said, you know, they call that guy Arafat the president, right? And they said he was elected? You know, how come we're the only guys who get our elections looked at as if we are just another South American country? They elect this guy Arafat back in 96, and everyone said, yes, the popular elected president. You don't suppose there was any kind of corruption or graft going on around that one, do you? Oh, my God. So what they got now is some other new Palestinian Authority thing. I think I'm telling you right now, the only thing's going to solve the problem down there, I hate to say it, I wish to God that I was not having to say these words, the only thing's going to solve the problem down there is a full-scale bloodletting war. Full-on, baby. Because that's what they want anyway. I mean, when you look at how things have been going down there, right? Each side blaming the other. We did this because you did that, and you did that because we did this. There's one thing that you know for sure. neither one of them want to give any ground on anything, right? I'm not picking any sides now. I'm just saying when the Israelis say they did this and the Palestinians say they did that and you're wrong, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong. Why don't you guys just have a war and get it over with, okay? Have a full-on bloodletting bloodbath. I mean, they got about as much love for each other, man, as Hitler did for the Jews. So what are we talking about? Just go at it and may the best man win. And the Palestinians say, well, we can't kick their ass. We don't have any guns. Well, wait a minute. Wait, hold on for just a second. The last time I checked, I heard that Iran dug you, Egypt dug you, Syria was into it, all those bedsheet wearers were into it, every cat, Libya, all of, don't you think they have enough guns between them? They could lay it on you guys, tanks, missiles, all kinds of crap. Don't you think they could do that? I mean, you may not have any guns, but those guys do, and they all want you to win. They all want you cats, the Palestinians, to go in and slaughter all the Jews and take over Israel, right? Isn't that what, that's what I'm hearing? I mean, you got bin Laden who is on your side. And that other guy in Syria is on your side. All those guys, man, they all dig you. So get the guns from those guys. Go at it. What are they waiting for? 500 million of those guys, 5 million Jews, you'd think it would have been over a long time ago. But for some reason, man, they can't get the cojones up between them to muster up even one really good rock thrower. And Arafat, I mean... He was about as effective as a freaking G-string in a snowstorm.
But it's got to be the right time. They gotta time it right.
Time it for what, man?
You know, just like get a plan together and attack at night.
Yeah! Yeah, that's right. Get a plan.
Maybe after the holidays.
There you go. After the holiday. After all the shopping is done?
Right. You know. After all the present wrapping is cleaned up and everything, the tree's taken out. Then they'll do it.
All right. Sometime after Christmas, they'll attack. Thanks, bud.
You're welcome.
Thanks for all of that freaking insight, you idiot. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's time for Law Talk with Harvey Wireman. Harvey Wireman is a retired criminal defense attorney who will answer your questions on the legal issues of the day. Law Talk with Harvey Wireman. Brought to you by Romeo y Julieta Cigars. And by the friendly folks at Pillsbury. And now, Harvey Wireman.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Law Talk. And the big issue today, of course, is the guilt verdict against Scott Peterson. The murder trial up in Redwood City has concluded, and Scott Peterson has been found guilty. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that today here on Harvey Wireman Law Talk. Now, let's keep in mind who the principals are, and I have with me my producer, Jim Bono. And Jim, who's this? The defense attorney was Mark Garagos. Is that?
Garagos.
Which is it, Garagos or Garagos?
I believe it's Garagos.
Mark Garagos? All right. Now, remember that Lacey's mother, Lacey Peterson's mother, was Sharon Racha?
I'll have to check that.
I think it says Richie. Sharon Richie, I think, is. And the prosecutor in the case, who made a brilliant, I think, closing argument, James Brazelton. He made a brilliant concluding series of arguments that I want to cite later on in the broadcast. The other prosecutor,
Rick
Disc Distasso also pointed out that Scott, even though the evidence was circumstantial, Scott laid very carefully for detectives the plan for killing his wife,
Lackey? Licky? Lacey.
Oh, Lacey. Amber Frey... Frew...
Amber?
Amber Frey... Frey?
Fry.
Amber Fry was Scoot... Scoots?
Scott.
Scott Pet... Peterson.
Peterson.
Scott Peterson's maestro?
Mistress.
Mistress. The police of Modesto arrested Scoot.
Scott.
At his home, and his mother, Sharon.
Sharon.
Then called the Pollock
police.
What?
Forget it!
Harvey Wireman Law Talk. Brought to you by Wheaties. The Breakfast of Champions. This is Harvey Wireman Law Talk on the Phil Hendry Radio Network.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this your caller said that he's only been out of the closet a year.
Ma'am. I've been out since last summer.
Well, I don't know how you've had enough time to have experienced the gay lifestyle if you've only been out of the closet a year.
Look, I'm gay.
Number one.
Are you gay?
No, I'm not
all
gay,
right,
but
well,
I don't see how you could
talk with any authority on it. So.
Well, I'll tell you how I can. I work in the fashion industry.
Well, you're not gay, so you can't.
I work in the fashion industry. I work with a lot of gay people. They're as wonderful and as varied.
Are you saying there's gay people in the fashion industry?
They are as varied as any other people that you'll meet.
You're racially profiling.
I'm not profiling anything.
You are. You're saying,
but I think
fags work in the dress design business.
First of all, I don't call people.
Yeah,
names.
You use the word
I don't
fag.
See why,
I'm a gay
yeah,
man.
I don't
and a gay journalist.
Well, I think that all you want to do is be on the radio and making that point. And I also think that you're being extremely disrespectful to people who have been over there working in their jobs and been killed, the families of those people who have been killed overseas.
I'm not talking about
reporting.
I'm talking about journalists.
I'm talking about journalists. Journalists who've given their life out there. You haven't spent one day on the front line.
I haven't heard
you haven't
about
spent
any
one day over there. You haven't heard about
life?
Any of them giving their lives?
Well, give me a name.
Daniel Pearl.
Daniel Pearl was in Pakistan talking to Al Qaeda. I'm talking about
he was in a military conflict. He was out in a military situation, situation.
But he was gay.
And let me ask you something.
Wasn't he a cameraman? Am I a cameraman? No, ma'am. I'm an old-school, hard-nosed reporter. I'm going to be firing dispatches back.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
Firing dispatches back from the front.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed
reporting? 15-year journalist. See, you're telling me about my business, and then you're also telling me about my sexual orientation. I don't know what your qualifications are, other than the fact that you've been around a lot of queens prissing around in a chamomile robe or something.
How can you be so disgusting? I don't use that type of terminology.
No, but you're saying you know all about my sexual orientation.
No,
and
I'm
my
not
job
saying I know anything.
Because you
I'm not saying
to know,
I know anything about it.
Because
but
you're the seamstress for a town for a fashion
no,
show.
No.
Well, look at Doug. Don't condescend
saying,
to the caller.
Excuse me. I'm saying that you've only been living in an acknowledged gay lifestyle for a year. I don't think that gives you
I'm gay.
To talk about what you can accomplish. I don't think that gives you the...
You're not gay at all. I don't think that gives you... Other than the fact that you sew buttons on shirts for some gay designer, doesn't mean that... You know, is James Bond gay? No. James Bond isn't gay. I could be...
I think that you'd better take... I think you'd better take a few steps
James
in the
Bond.
First steps of people who've been in war sites and actually
I'm
been
still,
there before
one of the reasons,
you make statements like you're making.
Look, I'm a gay
and
man and a gay journalist.
I think I can be stealthy. I think that any part of the media that would send you over with an attitude like you have is disgraceful.
Ma'am, I don't see what's wrong with my attitude. I'm proposing to give you what you're not getting, which is hard-nosed reporting from the front in Iraq. I'm
going
to get right up into an insurgent's nest and watch as the bullets sear through their faces through the back of their heads and into another guy's face.
On the radio making statements like that.
Doug, you're being a little graphic.
Here we go. Look, the American people want this kind of... They want to know the damage the Marines are doing. They want to know the successes of our soldiers, and we're not getting that news. We're getting a lot of little Red Riding Hoods and little Mary Jane over there. These guys want to get back home to their old lady and go out to the, you know, five and dime and just have a regular life. I'm going to go
you
over there,
what?
And I'm going to watch as Marines
like
pump shot
people?
After shot. Well, because
how
I'm looking at the reporting.
You be so disrespectful?
I'm a journalist. I'm gay.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let's not forget that crack he made about Daniel Pearl losing his head, too. Tell me we didn't get email on that one. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier from yesterday's show, and he was on saying he's a gay man and a gay journalist, and he's the kind of guy they need as a war correspondent over there. Because he's gay, he's not afraid to get right up and stare right at it as the Marines pump shots into these insurgents, and he'll report it in dispatches back from the front, just like an old-time war correspondent. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is Anna.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Anna, actually.
Anna, yes, sir. Sorry.
Slight differences anyways. So I was calling about what you said earlier about getting a war on in between Palestine and Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought that that'd be the next big answer.
Well, that's what everybody wants.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's what the new generation wants right now, just because we haven't seen it for about 20, 30 years. But then think about
well, have another one.
Well, think about who's going to actually fight the war. It's all the kids between 20 and, say, 40 years old. It's all the guys. Well, say they do actually successfully kill all of each other. Who do you have left? You're talking young kids.
Well, what do you
women.
Got now?
What do you got now?
Yeah.
What do you got now? Well, we're talking.
What do you got now?
We got the same difficulties that have been there for 3,000 years. Our whole, you know, Judaism.
Right, and what I'm hearing out of there is the Jews are horrible and the Arabs are horrible and the Jews this and the Jews that. Look, at the Arab countries, all 500 million of them can't get their act together enough to give Palestine enough assistance so that whether or not Israel is there, they could perhaps build a few roads, get some toilets that flush, maybe get a little internet access, hospitals, clinics, you know what I'm saying? A little civilization going on over there instead of like this mad, crazy scene they got over there. But apparently they don't want it. What they want to do is they want to destroy Israel. Okay, great. Go for it. Jesus, what's keeping them?
Well, nothing's keeping them. It's,
nothing?
To,
well, then why don't they do it?
Well, they did it in the 60s. They did it in the 20s.
Well, they're still there.
For the last 3,000 years.
Israel's
obviously
still there.
Not this, well, it wasn't there, you know, say, go 2,200 years back.
Well, then why were they fighting then?
King David got pushed out, had to go to, you know, what was it, Egypt?
Well,
yes, or something?
Israel wasn't there 3,000 years ago, right?
Right? Well, I think it was there in the beginning. Then,
all right, well, then it wasn't like 2,000 years ago. Wasn't there, right?
Our Old Testament is based on the fact that the Jews were kind of pushed out. You know, by then the Arabs were
I guess the point that I'm trying to make is they've been fighting. It doesn't matter whether Israel's there or not. They're all fighting each other.
Yeah, but there's never been a war, and there's never going to be a war where you're going to kill every last man, woman, and child.
No, I'm just saying, if the Arabs want Israel out of there, then why don't they get their act together and push them out of there? What's the problem here? What seems to be, what's the holdup? You know what I'm saying? Like the man said, what's the holdup, baby? We're burning daylight. They got Iran, Syria, and Egypt. The armaments in those three countries alone would be enough to amass one good-sized army to attack Israel. Throw in a little bit of Saudi Arabia's bread, and you got yourself a very formidable resource.
Yeah, but you can't go old-style war on them. The only way to do that, if you actually want this to be a solution, is to have those countries come up with a couple of nuclear bombs and bomb the heck out of everything and then say, whoops,
why do they need that? Wait a second, man. Are you crazy? They got enough guys to overrun that country tomorrow, just in terms of soldiers.
As soon as troop movements start on that kind of scale, the whole world's going to get into it. America's going to be a big, you know, policeman like they always are, and they're going to, you know, sit on the battlements with the Israelites, and, you know, it's just not going to happen. I know it's an attractive solution, but it's just not going to happen, man.
Why won't it happen?
Because as soon as, you know, all these countries get in and say, yes, we're going to give you conventional weapons.
Right.
Yes, we're going to give you troops. Yes,
right.
We're going to attack Israel.
Right.
Then Israel's not only going to have to fight with 5 million Jews, they're going to get everybody in from the U.N. America's going to come in.
You mean
there.
The U.N.'s going to fight the Arabs?
Well, what they'll officially be doing is protecting the Jews. In practice,
well, what you're telling me about, you're talking to me about alliances, all right? So why don't the Arabs put together a nice alliance with China, Pakistan. Pakistan's got some serious nukes.
Yeah.
You could get a nice little thing going with the French. They've been, they had Arafat up there. They were plugging him into a machine, trying to keep him alive. I mean, they got all kinds of people to back them up.
Look, whether we like it or not, it's going to be a very slow process. It's been going on
well,
for
you're not giving me,
years.
You're just telling me something I already know. You're telling me something I already know. I'm just asking the question, why, since these people hate each other so much, won't they just go ahead and have the war that they all seem to desire so much? Now, the Arabs have spoken in the most hateful terms about Israel. So freaking wipe them out and quit talking about it. I've never heard a group of people in the history of the human race full of more hot air than these Arab leaders, man. Boy, just blah, 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 blah. No wonder those sheets are blowing in the wind, man. It's all that hot air they're blowing at each other. Those guys walk along with those nice gowns flowing.
You mean it's all the hot air?
Yes. All that hot desert air coming out of their faces. But go ahead and kick their asses. They got more bread, they got more guns, they could get Israel and or what's the frogs in there and the krauts in there, all those guys that don't like the Israel anyway, get them going, get a little money over there and some arms from Pakistan, okay, that's pretty good. Now who else? The Chinese, I'm sure, would love to get in on that, and let's not forget about our pal Kim Jong-il there in North Korea. That's a very formidable alliance. The U.S., what do we got? We haven't got one stinking friend. We got Britain. That's what we got. So now you got Israel and America and Britain against all of the Arabs, the frogs, the Germans, the Pakis, the North Koreans, and the Chinese. Sounds to me like it's no freaking contest. Go for it. Wipe them out. Kill them all. Get your little precious little strip of sand back, and then I'm sure everything's just going to be all hunky-dory down there in Arab town. Yeah, right.
You mean you don't think it will?
Well, don't I sound a little sarcastic?
I don't know, but what's that mean?
1-800-449-8686. Man, the day that I kick you out of this studio, it'll be permanent. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So CBS has fired the producer responsible for interrupting CSI New York with the news that Arafat croaked. Well, good. How dare they do that? How dare they interrupt my TV show with that news? So they fired the producer, because they ain't going to fire anybody, like I said last night, making over a couple of hundred grand a year. So they canned the senior producer, a female. And I thought I'd point that out, because I don't know if you know this or not, but more and more in broadcasting, many middle management people are women, working their way slowly up through the ranks. Many who are in the upper echelons of management are female, but if you go to any television network or television station or radio station for that matter, a lot of the mid-management people are women. And just like when I was working, doing that pilot for NBC and Fox, most of the people I was dealing with at Fox, the head person's female. At NBC, one of the top people was a woman, and the reason why I point all of this out is as women begin to kind of work their way up the ladder, they're also going to be the ones who are, you're going to see being thrown in the street for not only good reason, but bad reason. And here's an example of a producer at CBS who probably did exactly what Dan Rather said in some confused, mumbling, rambling memo. I'll bet you that old jerk probably wrote a memo saying, "No, we must interrupt. CBS News is number..." Yeah, some kind of thing like that, you know, where he thinks he's the heir apparent to Charles Collingwood. So he wants to make sure that the news will come second to nothing. You remember, this is the guy that walked off the set when they preempted his news for the U.S. Open. He don't like the programming around there. He never has. I bet you money that that guy issued a memo saying, "I don't care who tells you what, you make sure you preempt." And so she does, and now she's being thrown out in the street. And Rather can't do anything about it because he's trying to hold on to his own rear end because of that whole National Guard phonied up documents thing, which, by the way, we're still waiting to hear the report on that. They're hoping that thing will go away. It probably will. Just wait long enough, man. Daniel, hold on to your gig. The fact Arafat already had been reported near death for several days also figured in the network's decision. The source said that the producer disregarded explicit advance instructions that breaking news of Arafat's death if it occurred during prime time, was to be reported with a news crawl at the bottom of the screen. Okay. This is the same network that said, by the way, we had no idea Janet Jackson's boob was going to come flying out.
Yeah.
Why, we didn't know. Ha ha! We didn't know. We didn't know. Neither of CBS's two biggest rivals, NBC or ABC, interrupted regular programming to report Arafat's death, although they should have because what they were showing at the time sucked. Would have been more exciting. Maybe that's what she thought. Why don't we just bust in with the news about Arafat croaking? Why? It's better than this. Oh, they did get a lot of complaints because people want their TV. So, all's well that ends well. Another $40,000 a year producer on the bricks. Hey! Can I talk to you guys about a career in broadcasting? It's really fun. Well, we'll see you Monday, baby. Same time, same thing. Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our Best Of CD available now on our website.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.